Hi, this is Stuart Weems and welcome to the Investopoly podcast. My goal is to give you simple, easy to understand strategies, insights and tips to help you master the game of building wealth. And in this episode, I'd like to talk about, or at least reflect upon, the lessons that COVID or 2020 has taught us. Without trying to come across too philosophical, I believe that life offers us lessons, but we must be prepared to look for them. And quite often, after really any event, both positive and negative, I personally like to reflect and go, okay, what have we learned? What worked? What would I repeat? And what would I do differently? And I think if you do that, certainly I do that at a professional level, but of course also at a personal level. And I think if you do that, sometimes there's nothing to learn and that's fine, but quite often there is. And you don't necessarily have to go through the experience to learn it. So, for example, if one of my clients does something that turns out positive, negative, I still like to do that to find the learn as many learnings as possible. Of course, 2020 has been a bit of a crazy year, and I think we're all looking forward to 2021. We're all looking forward to a vaccination, and we're looking forward to COVID being something that's in the rear vision mirror rather than the windscreen. But, you know, reflecting on this year, there's been some really positive outcomes. I'm really proud of all my clients that, except for one, they've all stayed the course. Only one client insisted on selling down some investments when the pandemic hit. But to be fair, there was some extenuating circumstances. Thankfully, though, a lot of clients invested new monies. We helped them invest new monies, particularly during the market volatility, you know, during March, April, May, during those times. And whilst those investments were made with the sole goal of maximizing long-term returns, not chasing short-term profits, the performance has been very, very good on those investments. So, for a lot of clients, it's actually been a pretty positive experience. But as I said, I'd like to look for the learning. So what has 2020 taught us or reminded us? I think the first thing is to expect market crashes. Market corrections are just not that uncommon. They seem to occur every 8 to 12 years. And of course, the thing that causes the correction, the thing that causes the volatility or the crash is always unique and different, and most importantly, completely unpredictable. You know, and that's why it causes such volatility, because the market gets spooked. It's an event that no one really anticipated or could have predicted sometimes. And that's why it always feels so dramatic, and it always feels this time is different. So if anything, you know, if you can walk away after listening to this podcast, what I'd like to ring in your ears is next time a market correction happens, listen and watch, and you'll see that people tell you this time is different. And whilst every crash is, or at least feels different, and to some degree it is different because it's caused by different things, they're also all the same. The first thing is that the market tends to overreact, and all investments get punished, all asset classes get punished, almost regardless of quality and outlook. You know, in March, everything fell. Shares, bonds, gold, like every interest rates, everything fell, which is actually a unique outcome. Sometimes you see gold or bonds rise if shares fall strongly. But it showed us very clearly that, you know, there's no common sense here. And the reality is that a crisis will tend to impact some sectors, geographical locations, or asset classes to a greater extent. And so you can find the, I guess, arbitrage or opportunities in markets when everything gets punished. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Secondly, markets tend to rebound much faster than we expect. In every crisis, and I'm thinking about, I've lived through, or at least as a professional, lived through three. I was still in school when the 87 share market crash happened. But the tech wreck, GFC, and now the pandemic are the sort of three major events in my professional lifetime. And during those events, your view at that time is it's going to take many years to recover. But the market is very forward-looking, and I shared a chart, and obviously the link's in the show notes and on the blog on the website, but I shared a chart in March of all the crashes over time, and it shows within 3 to 5 years, the returns in share markets are typically above mean, above average. So share markets bounce back relatively quickly. So what can we learn from this? Well, I think we can learn that if we're going to invest in shares, and to some degree really any asset class, expect volatility. Don't be spooked by it, and don't be surprised when it occurs. You can be surprised at the cause, of course, because the cause is always different. But the actual fact it's happened, it's normal. It's going to happen. It'll happen again. Stay the course. Don't let it spook you. Don't let it veer you off course either. Don't let it entice you into throwing out your plan and starting again and making any rash decisions. And where appropriate, invest some more money. If you see some volatility, if you see markets not behaving sensibly, it could be a good sign that you should be making additional investments rather than no investments. The second learning I think we got taught in 2020 or reminded of is focus on the long term, play the long game. And I've said this many times in many podcasts, but in times of crisis, in times of high volatility, in times of high uncertainty, it's really difficult to focus on the long term. It's difficult because it's really difficult to visualize how the crisis is going to pay out. You know, we didn't know about COVID and the mortality rate and how it spread it and what sort of impact it would have and how quick we could get a vaccine. And there was so much uncertainty. And because of that uncertainty, if all we did is focus on the short run, we're going to get confused. It's going to be paralyzing. We'll never make a financial decision. Whereas if we just stick to long-term trends, if we just stick to long-term investing, much, much easier to make a financial decision. For example, take the World Share Index. So between 1970 and 2019, so 50 years, it's generated a return of 10.7% in Australian dollars. 10.7% over 50 years. That is a long-term return. Over that 50 years, we've had lots of market crashes, lots of different events and so forth. So, for example, if you just turned around mid-crisis and said, I'm going to go buy the World Share Index, that is a good quality long-term decision. And we know that if you did that, you might not be better off in a month's time, and even might not be better off in a year's time. But we know because markets tend to rebound strongly within at least a five-year period, often quicker, but it doesn't need much more than 5 years, that if we invest in that asset, it's very likely, highly likely, if we look at trends, that we'll achieve better long-term outcomes. So by just taking that long-term approach, sticking to assets and evidence-based strategies, you know, there's a strong evidence. There's the evidence, 10.7% over 50 years. You don't need much more evidence. It's an index, very easy, cheap to invest in, very diversified. Makes a lot of sense. Now, I'm not suggesting everyone invest in the World Share Index. I just use that as an example, of course. But it's the approach that I use when investing client monies during March, April and May, really at the time of the height of kind of uncertainty. It was about picking markets that we would otherwise invest in even if the pandemic didn't occur. It's about adopting strategies and approaches that we would adopt if the pandemic didn't occur. It's really about focusing on 5, 10, 15, 20 years. How can we maximize returns rather than focusing on what are we going to do for the next few months? How's it going to play out for the next 2 years? That short-term focus is paralyzing. It'll entice you to either not make a decision and just procrastinate or make the wrong decision. So the lesson here is, the pandemic's lesson to you from an investment perspective is always play the long game. Focus on making decisions that are focused on maximizing the greatest financial impact for you over a 10 plus year period. That's what you should be constantly asking yourself. What can I do today? What actions and decisions can I take so that in 10 years from now, I'll be financially much better off? And I think the pandemic 2020 as a year, great teaching lesson for that. Number three, cash buffers are important. You know, having plenty of cash savings really provides that sleep at night factor, if you like. I typically like my clients to hold somewhere between 6 and 12 months of general living expenses in cash. So, you know, if they're spending $100,000 a year, I like to have $50,000 to $100,000 just in cash savings. It's important because, it's important for very obvious reasons, of course, but if your income is to unexpectedly change, you can still have that sleep at night. In fact, you can know that, look, if I don't have any income for a year, I'll be okay. Well, I mean, you'll still be able to pay for living expenses. I'm sure you'll have to make some sacrifices, but you don't have to really lie awake at night and worry about it. It also gives you plenty of time, a long enough runway to make some decisions, whether that's selling some assets or making some changes, but you've got some space in order to make those decisions. You don't have to panic and make them overnight and so forth. And I guess the pandemic also shows that whilst we might be in a really secure job or really secure industry, things can change at a global level that can upset that level of security. So having buffers in loans, having cash in the bank, having cash in offset accounts, really, really important. If you run a business, critically important. Certainly hospitality's worked that one out. Unfortunately, I feel so sorry for the hospitality industry, particularly in Melbourne. They've suffered a lot, proportionally much worse than any other industry, really. So having plenty of cash, Virgin and Qantas realised that as well. Having lots of cash in the bank meant that they survive or will survive the pandemic. So cash is king. So if you don't have, where's the lesson for this year? The lesson is if you don't have 6 to 12 months worth of living expenses, then I reckon that should be your number one goal for 2021, is start accumulating some cash savings, a rainy day fund to provide that level of security. Next lesson, number four, is financial security really gives you that sleep at night factor. You know, many people work hard for years and decades and sometimes have very little to show for it other than their home, probably a home loan and some compulsory super, of course. But building wealth outside of those assets, which are almost sort of compulsory assets, if you like. I mean, you need a home and you're forced to have super. But you need to really build a nest egg outside of those assets. Just in case you wake up one day, we have a pandemic, it's worse than the last one, or something else that's completely unexpected and we can't anticipate today. But you know that if you've got a strong asset base, you've got something to fall back on. And I think that's one thing that a lot of people started thinking about when COVID hit, was that I really wasted the past few years. I really didn't take enough of my surplus cash flow and put it to hard work to build wealth. And it's kind of a missed opportunity, because if I had have done that, I don't then need to agonize over potentially losing my job or having my bonus cut or having to being forced to go down to 3 days a week or making those sorts of compromises that a lot of really large global businesses had to make when the pandemic hit, and that we couldn't have anticipated, say, towards the end of last year, for example. So having a plan, making sure you've got some surplus investable cash flow and doing something smart with that, really important. And the best time to start that is today. Well, the best time was probably yesterday, but if you didn't start yesterday, then the best time is to start today. So again, could be a little bit of a wake-up call for you. Maybe it's a goal for 2021 to really start building your financial position, giving yourself some financial security, making sure you've got some assets that if everything blows up, you can go and sell those assets and put some money in the bank and make sure that your family and that yourself, of course, is secure. The last lesson, number five, I think, is we've got to be really careful about what information we feed our brain. When the pandemic hit, I personally stopped watching commercial TV. Now, admittedly, I didn't watch a lot of commercial TV. Most of it's rubbish, of course. But I found that the news in particular was just ridiculously alarmist and unbalanced. It didn't help me to become better informed, and all it did is just created higher levels of uncertainty. And look, if we think about it logically, we know logically that if all we put in our bodies is unhealthy foods, then we're going to have an unhealthy body. And our brain is no different. So we must proactively filter what we watch and read. We can't expect to make good long-term financial decisions if we're in a constant state of anxiety influenced by misinformation. I won't say fake news or fake media. I don't want to use that quote. But really, we have to understand that the media just wants our attention, because they'll sell that attention to advertisers. So they will do anything, a headline, a news story, something additional to be worried about. They'll always dangle it in front of our eyes to grab our attention, because attention makes money for them. So how can we apply that? Where's the lesson in that? Well, of course, there's a lesson in when a pandemic hits, be really careful and turn the TV off. But of course, let's then just think about in a normal kind of non-pandemic time. Well, think about, you know, what you're reading. Some parts of the media will always talk negatively about investing and borrowing and property prices and the property market and financial advisors can't be trusted and all these sorts of things. These sorts of negative news stories grab attention. So be careful about what you read. Be balanced. I'm not saying don't read any negative stories. I think you need to have a balance of positive and negative stories, of course, to find the truth, which is probably somewhere in the middle. But be very careful about what you're reading. And most importantly, who you're listening to. And that's not just really about podcasts, but that's also most importantly about friends and family. They're all well-meaning, but they've got their own ideas about what's right and what's wrong that can be shaped by many different things, and sometimes they're not necessarily that helpful. So be really careful about the kind of information you're putting inside your head, because again, that's going to determine whether you make really good quality decisions. Reflecting on 2020, for me personally, it's been a wonderful year for my wife and I. We've bought and sold residential property when no one else really wanted to. Just a few days before Melbourne went into stage 4 lockdown, there was a great opportunity for us and we jumped on it, even though no one was really that interested in buying or selling property at that stage. We've invested a lot in shares, and also we've invested in commercial property during the year as well. So we've really taken our opportunities. And the only reason for me to share that information is to point out I follow my own advice, or I eat my own cooking. And I think that's really important. It's one thing to tell people what to do, but if they're not doing it themselves, I think it lacks credibility. So one thing's for sure. There will be another crisis. It will be a unique event, and in the heights of all the hysteria, it will feel really uncertain and it will feel like the world has changed forever. So I have two important questions for you. What can you start doing today to prepare yourself and your family for the next crisis, so you've got a strong financial position to weather any storms? And secondly, what would you do differently when it hits? That's it from me this week. Thank you very much for listening. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a rating, please leave a review, and please share with family and friends if there's other people that you think will enjoy listening to the podcast. The only way it's going to spread is if you talk about it. So I appreciate you talking about it. That's it from me. Until next week, bye for now.